This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's time for the Score Evening Show, weeknight 6 till 9, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's your host, Mark Grody.
That's right. It's the Score Evening Show, over which I shall preside until 9 o'clock tonight. Hope you are all doing great. I am indeed Mark Grody. We got a lot to do in the next 3 hours right here on the Score, including I received the following text message, was it 2 days ago? A couple of days ago, from a former baseball player. And that former baseball player's name is Brett Boone. Most notably with the Seattle Mariners back in the day, was once upon a time an MVP candidate. But kind of out of the blue, I got a text from Brett Boone saying, I think the Cubs might be for real. Hope you're doing great, Booney. And I said, I would like to tell you what I returned to him, because it's like sports. And I said, great to hear from you. Yeah, I feel like the push to 10 games over 500 is going to happen soon, and then all bets are off. So guess what we did? My next move was to be like, well, how about you come on the radio, Brett Boone? Why don't you come? Because it's like, this is a national guy. This is a national insider. So the fact that he is looking at Chicago and the Cubs and thinking, oh, there might be something special brewing there. I love it when we hear those perspectives, because we know what we're all thinking. We're in the daily grind. We're on the roller coaster. We live on the roller coaster. So let's get somebody who's got a little bit more perspective, I guess, more calm perspective. But it sounds like he is on the hype train as well about these Chicago Cubs. So Brett Boone is going to join us coming up a little bit later on in the show at 6:30. And I mean it, with the 10 games over 500 thing is a real thing in baseball, where you get to that point and then it just sort of blasts off. It can be difficult to get there. Like, and we've seen it with the Cubs. Like, they're 19-13 right now, so they're 6 games over .500. A great place to be considering the schedule that the Cubs have had. But when you get to that point, I remember in 2015, the first year of the coming of the Cubs and the greatest generation of the Chicago Cubs, I remember Joe Maddon always having that philosophy, let's get to 10 games over 500, and then we'll see what happens. And that's exactly what happened when the Cubs got to 10 games over 500 in 2015. They blasted off. Same thing in 2016, but they were 10 games over 500, like 13 games into the season. So, yeah, that's a real mark, and I do think the Cubs are heading towards that. They got a tough series coming up because they're at Milwaukee tomorrow, starting at 7:10 with Ben Brown on the mound. Could it be his final start if he doesn't show a little bit more than he has shown? We shall see with him tomorrow. The Cubs did win today, 8-3. And like I said, we'll have a couple of Cubs segments tonight, but one of those is coming up here in about 20 minutes from right now. What else are we going to do here tonight? I just ran into Chris Emma, who is doing sports updates on WBBM, traffic and weather together. So I said, hey, if you want to come into the studio, stick your head in here, say a few words, you may. So that might happen.
Some people like Chris Emma.
That's right. I'm one of the people that likes Chris Emma, kinda. I'm just humoring him. So we're going to see what hot take Chris Emma can come up with in 3 minutes, because I said, we barely are going to have time at the end of the hour because we got to talk to Booney, So, we'll see. We'll see if he's got a Cubs hot take, maybe a Bears hot take, maybe a White Sox. The White Sox helped out the Cubs today. So, Chris Emma, who is, oh boy, he is a massive Cubs fan. He probably appreciated the White Sox putting a hurting on Milwaukee today, 8-0. Luis Robert, the 3-run double late in the game. He also had an earlier RBI double. Sean Burke looked good in the game. I don't know if the Sox are going to be his hot take, but we'll get that towards the end of the 6 o'clock hour. And then 7 o'clock, we're just going to start breaking stuff down, because guess who's coming on? Brian Baldinger. Baldy. Baldy, just start breaking it down. That's what I'm going to say. When Baldy comes on, break it down. That is what he does. Brian Baldinger, one of our Odyssey insiders as well. Who else? Oh, yeah. Aaron Lemming will be on the show at 8 o'clock to talk about the Chicago Bears. So all sorts of stuff going down on the show tonight. I am here for you. If you'd like to hang out on my new Twitter, my watered-down version of the regular Twitter, I am at Grody Sports. If you want to do it like that, the text line is open, 312-644-6767 is the number. Let us talk about the Bears. Where do I want to start? I think, actually, I want to start talking about the running back position for the Chicago Bears, because we all know, no matter what you hear from the Bears have to say all the right things about the guys that are on the depth chart right now for the Bears as far as the running backs are concerned. They love DeAndre Swift. They love Roschon Johnson. They certainly love Kyle Manungai, because they just drafted him. So there's all that hope for him, hope and hype for the 7th-round pick, Manungai. Hey, he's my Manungai. So that's what it is. We all know, I mean, we can't listen to Ben Johnson talk about building a team and how much the running back, how important the running back is, and knowing from whence he came with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. You can't tell us that's enough right there. Even if the Bears were to go into this season with that depth chart, they know in the back of their minds that's probably not enough. Ryan Poles did back me up on one thing, and that is that I do look at what the Bears have done with the interior of their offensive line with Drew Dahlman and Jonah Jackson and Joe Tooney. And yeah, you can make, I mean, if we're gonna make excuses for everybody else on the Bears offense last year because of the offensive line, then guess what? We have to do the same. We have to have the same courtesy for DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson and Kyle Manungai. Like that hat, Travis Homer as well, if you'd like to throw him in there. So there is that part where, yeah, it's possible that those guys can pop a little bit more because of the offensive line if they do go into the year. But we all know, they've been telling us without telling us, the Bears have, throughout this entire, since Ben Johnson was hired, play action, got to have the right running back. This doesn't appear at the moment to be the right group of running backs to achieve what Ben Johnson would want to achieve in his offense. So at some point in time, the Bears are going to need more to be added to that running back's room. And there have been talking heavy in Cleveland, on Cleveland Sports Talk Radio, our Odyssey sisters, brothers, I don't know. But
brothers and sisters,
absolutely. Whichever
co-workers,
direction.
Co-workers,
well, kind of co-workers. Yeah, but we should know our co-workers. Like, I don't know. I've listened to Ken Carmen, very good, because he used to do. I think he still does. Does he still do the Infinity Sports Network or CBS Sports Radio, whatever we're calling it these days? I know he was doing a show there for a while, so he's very good, and he does the mornings at 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Listen very carefully to what Ken Carmen was saying about Nick Chubb, who is a person of interest, it would seem, it would seem logically for the Chicago Bears because of the immense talent that does exist with Nick Chubb. And then we'll talk about Nick Chubb. But here's Ken Carman from 92.3 The Fan. Listen carefully.
What I know, Bears, the Browns want to bring Nick Chubb back. And they are trying hard to bring Nick back. I know this. Okay? I also know the Bears, now they're going to make it public and they're going to go after him. They're beating down the door. I mean, if you got Lewis Riddick saying that, that means that somebody is telling them, hey, we want him really bad.
And so why are the Browns not doing that? Do they just not want Nick Chubb in that room? They want the rookies, the young guys to get the carries?
I wonder. Now, this is my theory. I don't know. I wonder if Nick sees the draft because the Browns have to protect themselves.
But did them taking the two rookies make it easy for Nick Chubb to go elsewhere?
It might have, but again, they have
to. So they kind of, if they really wanted Chubb, they shot themselves in the foot trying to get him.
But if they were going to bring Nick back, how long are they bringing Nick back for? I mean, these are two running backs that could play the next 4 years for you. You're hoping. Nick's a year-to-year basis now.
Mm-hmm.
After the foot injury last year, let's call it what it is. The Browns are serious about bringing him back. The Bears are very serious about bringing him in. And are trying to make this push to bring him in. It's just going to depend on what's willing to offer more. I don't think if Nick were to take the offer to Chicago, he's always going to be beloved here. I think that everybody would love him to finish his career in Cleveland, but I still don't think a year in Chicago or 2 years in Chicago is going to change how he's seen by Browns fans or even by the organization long term.
Ken Carman right there on The Fan at Cleveland 92.3. The Bears are very serious about bringing in Nick Chubb. Now, there are some red flags too heavy when we're talking about injuries? Oh, that's too dramatic. But Nick Chubb, in September of 2023, suffered a serious knee injury. He had suffered a serious knee injury as well in the year 2015. It was the same knee, similar injury. He missed basically the entire 2023 season. He begins 2024 on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list, or as I like to call it, the Chase Claypool list. Remember all that? Remember that? When
could be the Kevin White list too.
Kevin White. Oh man.
I think it was his first.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're right. And well, one had a much better ad. I don't know, man. Chase, I blew it on Chase Claypool because I really thought he was going to be good with the Bears, but he was everything. Like, that turned out to be every worst-case scenario of things that we heard from the people in Pittsburgh, because some people tried to warn us, but sometimes we just don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? It's like going back to Jay Cutler, and we were so excited about Jay Cutler, but there were a few people going, good riddance, good luck with that guy. And to some degree, they were right. But that's a very complicated manner. I don't feel like opening up the Jay Cutler phone line right now. But anyway, in 2024, Chubb was put on the PUP list to begin the season. He ended up playing 8 games. He rushed for 332 yards. So it's been a little while since Nick Chubb has carried the load or been a productive running back in the National Football League. So we're allowed to be concerned about that part. So need to know how healthy he is. I assume he came out of last year okay. How old is he? He's probably, 28? Something like that, Nick Chubb? Or is he a little bit older? But, yeah, I'm
29.
29. Look at me. So 29 years old for Nick Chubb. I think I'd be willing to take a chance on him to get into that running back's room for a year.
And he will turn 30 in December.
Dun, 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 dun. 30 is such an ugly word in football. It really is, because it could go downhill quickly. Or there's many guys that are productive into their 30s, but it's always a question mark. And here I go again, man. Like Allen Robinson, I think Lawrence brought it up the other day. I brought up Allen Robinson's name because I think we're doing the wide receiver drill. Now I'm conflating shows. I'm on a lot of shows. But yeah, I mean, the Allen Robinson was a precipitous fall. And I remember we all thought, oh, there's something wrong here with Justin Fields. Where's the chemistry between these two? As it turns out, Allen Robinson just was not what he once was for whatever reason. But Yeah, I mean, the red flags are real with Nick Chubb, 30 years old. If you're going to do this, do it with caution and be careful what the resources are that you are giving up in order to bring Nick Chubb to your team. But it's probably got to be a whole lot better than it is right now in that running backs room. And I'll just be shocked if the Bears go into the season with that depth chart that they have. Offensive line, we got to get into that here as well. Take you behind the curtains a little bit. You know, this has mostly all been out there. The idea that the Bears would move Darnell Wright to left tackle was not just something that Ryan Poles was throwing out there. I think somebody asked him about it. I know that Darnell Wright was asked about it, and he said, look, it's too soon. We're just getting here. We haven't done anything. We haven't even started OTA. So basically he was saying, don't ask me that question. I don't understand why you're asking me something like that at this point. But he certainly did not deny the possibility of it. And Ryan Poles said, straight up said, he's played the position in college. So it's plausible. It is plausible that they would do that. And it would make sense, too, because they just brought in this offensive lineman in the second round, and Ozzie Trapillo, who plays right tackle. Like, he even admitted that at this point, that's the position that he is most comfortable in. Well, Ryan Poles was on Bears radio today. He was on the Bears flagship, Dial the Dial, today. And shout out to Jay Hood and David Kaplan. The question that was, I have a transcript of this right in my hands, thanks to Adam Studzinski, who got a face full of transcribing today. Transcribing is the most hated thing in journalism, Studs, and I think you found that out today.
Hey, I've transcribed before.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Oh, yeah. When I was working down in Bloomington in WJBC, I would have to transcribe quotes for the website stories.
Okay. I apologize. My bad. No need to yell.
I don't remember yelling, but... Was I yelling?
Take it easy. Take it easy. Jesus.
Are you gaslighting me?
So
let's take this outside.
Here was the question, I believe, by Hoodie. He said the following. I want to ask you about the versatility of the offensive line. You opened the door about versatility of Darnell Wright, who can be a right tackle or a left tackle. What's your expectation there as far as maybe making some changes by the time you end training camp as far as the offensive line alignment? Here is the answer now from Ryan Poles, the Bears general manager. Yeah, again, it goes back to alignment with our coaching staff. That's a conversation that we've been having, and this is me talking now. Ryan Poles said that. Like, that's one of the things, like, in terms of where everybody's going to play, like, where the new, like, how the defensive rotation is going to, is Shamar Turner part of this? Who's going to be the three technique? Is Grady Jarrett going to be it? Where does it all line up? Who's the odd man out? Is it going to be Jervon Dexter? And Ryan Poles has basically said, I'm going to lean on my coaches for that. So that's a real thing that Ryan Poles doesn't. I imagine most general managers, once you've done the drafting and you've acquired the free agents, then it's time to turn it over to the coaching staff and trust them, and it seems that this group of coaches in particular are to be trusted. And we know some of the coaches, and we know their names, so they must be good, right? So back to Ryan Poles' answer. Obviously, he says, before the draft and recently after the draft, we've been having some good conversations about that, and we're still working through it. I think we want to see what we have in the young rookie with Ozzie Trapillo in terms of what he looks like at left tackle. Okay, we want that's the first little gleaning of a specific answer about him. And it surprised me a little bit, but don't take that as rote. We still, he says, this goes on, Ryan Poles here, we still want to see Braxton Jones returning from his injury, as well as Karan Amagaji. Don't forget about Amagaji. That's me. So this is Ryan Poles still. So there's a lot of options, which to me is a huge benefit and a huge improvement for our O-line that you have these options. That's really valuable, Poles says. But I think the one thing that we came away from in our recent conversations is whatever we settle on, especially when we're going to training camp, it's going to be really important to stick with that and be as consistent as possible. Oh, hell yes. Me talking again.
it's so important that that happens. We thought that the Bears had had that down a couple of years ago, and Nate Davis kind of blew the whole thing up, and then the whole center situation once upon a time. There was supposed competition there the last year, but it really, I mean, Coleman Shelton ended up taking it, so it was just like weird. It's so important that that part is down for the sake of the new head coach, Ben Johnson, for the sake of Caleb Williams, for the sake of everything the Bears are trying to do this year, and that is trying to improve a lot. So that it's really good to hear that they're saying that right now, that we're not going to, as reporters, go to training camp and every day have to hear from whether it's the head coach, Ben Johnson, or Dan Rauscher, the offensive line coach. Well, it's a competition that's going on here. We don't know who the starters are going to be. I got a feeling that they're going to come out with this pretty quickly as we go into this season. So that's really important. Now, back to Ryan Poles. Now, he says, things come up, and that could change. But that's our mindset. It's wherever we end up settling going into training camp, we'd like to be as stable as possible. So we're not flipping left and right. Some of those guys will be swing tackles eventually. How you doing, Karana Magaji? I think he's going to end up being a swing tackle. So they're going to have to do a little bit of that. But we want to kind of have that solidified, the offensive line, and we're going through the beginning parts of training camp. And that is it. Again, that is Ryan Poles on the Bears flagship radio station today. And so I think the key line here is we're still working through it. And I think the other key part is we want to solve this. We want to, solving is the right word, we want to have our offensive line in place sooner rather than later. And I get it, duh. Everybody wants to, but that there's just like we can't mess around that much. I agree. I heard Big Ant coming in, Anthony Heron. I agree with him. He said that, you know, Braxton Jones probably will still be starting at left tackle. Like, it's hard to imagine. I don't know. Maybe it's I've been hurt before and we've been hurt before. It's hard to imagine that Ozzie Trapillo is going to start at left tackle on day one of this season under Ben Brown and all that seems to be at stake in terms of the way the Bears are comporting themselves, and that is an aggressive organization. It wouldn't necessarily seem to make sense to do that. I don't like the idea of moving Darnell Wright. Like, if you ask me, do I like it? I don't like the idea of moving Darnell Wright to left tackle because I don't like the idea of messing what has been a good thing. And we've seen it before kind of not work with the Bears. And it's like Kyle Long is the easy pickings. We talk about sort of moving a guy around and it not working. But
didn't he? All right. Didn't Kyle Long make a Pro Bowl at right tackle? I swear he did. It might have been based on his name, though.
Maybe.
I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. You do that. You go do your thing. I'll do my thing. I see Chris Emma. You better have that. You better have your hot take ready, Emma. I see you. I've already built it up. Cubs, Bears, you're going to have like 3 minutes of a hot take. So you just be absolutely ready.
Yeah, there you go. 2015, Kyle Long, right tackle, made the Pro Bowl.
Okay. Might have been reputation.
It probably was.
Yeah. But that's cool. Hey, man. There's tons of guys who make the Pro Bowl based on reputation. So, but if... I'm okay with trying it, you know, putting them in. If it feels comfortable, it feels right, like I'm down with that possibility. Because I'd also be probably okay thinking about Ozzie Trapillo playing that right tackle position just because he did a ton of it while he was in college at Boston College, at BCU. So it ought to be interesting. And 6'8", 316 Trapillo, he's an interesting guy too. Like really, really excited. Seems like... He's like the eager. He's the eager guy in the class. Oh, well, wait a minute. That's probably, Shamar Turner. Oh, my God. Shamar Turner of Texas A&M. He is very interesting. There's some really interesting personalities in this group. But we know that at this point, it's like, enough with the personality. We want production. We want wins. That's what we want. And I get that. I understand that. But, you know, part of what we do around here is let you get to know some of these people, and I promise that I will do my best to get that going. We got a lot more to talk about the Bears. I feel like I'm just scratching the surface with this. So we'll return to it a little bit later on. Aaron Lemming is going to be on with us at 8 o'clock. Who knows what Emma's got for us at the end of the hour. I do know this. Brett Boone is going to join us next and tell us why he thinks the Cubs, as he told me via text message, the Cubs might be good. Brett Boone, the Brett Boone podcast, is coming up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
Now the batter, Kyle Tucker, he drills one deep right center field, way back, still going at the wall. Reynolds looks up, and this one's gone. Tie ball game. Kyle Tucker leaves the yard. 2-2, Cubs and Pirates here in the fifth.
Presley fires. Fly ball to right, pretty well hit. Back goes Tucker near the wall. He's got it. Cubs win the game. Tucker gently colliding with that outfield wall and right. He's okay. 1-2-3 for Presley. Cubs wrap up a series winning 2 out of 3 here in Steel Town. The final today, 8-3.
Cubs are good, man. Pat Hughes right there. You heard Zach Zabin before him right here on the Score earlier today. One of those 11:35 getaway day games, at least Chicago time, 12:35 in Pittsburgh. But the Cubs win by 5, Cubs 19-13, Cubs beating Paul Skeens today, Swanson, Tucker, and Suzuki homered in this game off of Skeens in the fifth inning. Seiya Suzuki hit a couple of bombs. The Cubs win, and they are on to Milwaukee tomorrow. It's about to be a blast. Cubs at the Brewers tomorrow night starting at 7:10. It is a 3-game series with Ben Brown on the mound for the Cubs. Let's keep the Cubs talk hot right now. Joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is a former All-Star starter. It is Brett Boone of the Boone Podcast, and more importantly, just of the Boone family. There's lots of Boones that have played Major League Baseball, but I have to say, Brett is my favorite of the Boones. Brett, how are you, my friend?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, Cubs are good, man. They're good.
Yeah, that's why we're talking. I got that text from you, and you're like, I think the Cubs are good. I'm like, okay, all right. You know, it's early. They're 19th. They had a nice start last year, too. So, sir, why do you think that the Cubs are good?
Well, I just see, you know, I see the additions you made this winter. You know, bringing Presley over from Houston. He got back in the game today. I know he's been day-to-day. Bringing Kyle Tucker. He's one of the best players in baseball. And then with the emergence of a Pete Armstrong, it was good to see Swanson got five hits over the last couple of days, went deep today. You're going to need him. You know, he's the guy that you expect a lot when he signed that contract. I love Horner. I love his demeanor. I just love what he brings to the game every day. What Kelly and Amaya is doing from the catching position, what they're giving you there. Suzuki, you know, from a DH standpoint, he's putting up an MVP year thus far. So, you know, Happ out of that leadoff spot, I think he got three hits today. They're just hitting on all cylinders. I mean, you look at the offense for the National League. They're first, you know, first in average, second or first, and maybe first now with today's output of the home runs, but at least second. You know, OPS, they're first or second. On base percentage, first. They steal bases. They're first there. So I just look at so many positive things going on with this Cubs team right now. It's going to be interesting. You know, it's not the toughest division. So I like the division they're in to have a possibility to come back. Steel being out for the year, yeah, that really hurts. But you look at that pitching staff with Imaga.
Shota Imanaga. Yeah, I got you.
Imanaga at the top. You know, you've got Tyen and Boyd. You never know. How about the kid today, Ray, coming, you know, he's starting to be in that rotation round. He's nasty.
Yeah.
I watched him today. My kids laugh at me, but I sit on the couch and I watch these games. And how everything I like to do is by eyesight. And I know when I don't want to grab a bat in any capacity at my age anymore. But there's times when I'm watching the game and go, you know, I could compete off him tonight. I'm not saying I'm going to get a hit,
right?
But he's not going to embarrass me.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I watch a guy like Ray today, I don't want to hit. I don't want to grab a bat. I don't want to go up there. And that's kind of my template for what's nasty and what's not nasty. So I just see these guys doing a lot of really good things early, and especially a division that's very gettable. I don't think the Brewers are going to really be a thorn in their side like they have in the past. I think if you look to anybody in that division, I think Cincy could make it interesting. Mm.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's the division. I'm just looking at it. I'm just bringing it up here right now, Brett, just to look at the Red Cubs 19 and 30. You're right. The Reds at 17 and 15. The Cardinals, they're awful start, but they're now at 14 and 18. All these teams seem a little bit confused. I guess the team that I can never trust, Brett, to be bad, because it's been a while since they have been. Like, I thought the bottom would drop out last year for Milwaukee, but it certainly did not. The Brewers will come into this series at exactly 16 and 16. Tell me, and then Cubs fans, because we need to know why Milwaukee is going to finally come down to earth and they're going to end up being 10 games under 500 in about a month or so.
Well, I don't think they're going to be 10 games under 500. I don't think the Brewers are a bad team, but I don't think they're a championship team either. You got Churio, Terang, Yelich. Yeah, that from the offensive side. Peralta, Quintana, Patch. I look at the rest of the division. I look at the matchups. I look at the pitching matchups, and I don't think they match up. I think the Cubs, even minus Steele, I think the Cubs are better in that total package. I look at the Cincinnati Reds. And I'm not overly excited about the Cincinnati Reds, but their staff, their starting rotation, their bullpen, it's pretty good, especially the numbers this early in the season when they're playing at their ballpark, which, as everybody knows, is one of the most hitter-friendly ballparks in all of Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
So I look at Cincinnati. Yeah, they can match up a little bit better with the Cubs. Pirates, you've seen the Pirates. The Pirates are the Pirates. You know, and the Cubs going out and beating Skeens. You beat Skeens. That's a big deal. And they did that today. St. Louis, the history, you know, it seems like they've always been there until a year ago they weren't. I just don't think, at the end of the day, for me, St. Louis, they just don't quite have enough. So I'd look, barring something that just goes completely opposite of everything the Cubs are doing so far in the season, I see the Cubs being there at the end. I said it at the beginning of the season before we started. We always have a kickoff season and prediction party on my podcast, and I said Cubs in the Central Division, absolutely. And they haven't disappointed so far.
Can they?
The thing about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask. Are the Cubs? You're right. They could win the division. Do you think they're as they are put together right now? Can they win playoff games? Can they win a playoff series with the roster that they have?
Well, I think this current format in the history of baseball in 2025, it's as easy as it's ever been to get to the postseason, just because of the amount of spots. And I think the game, how it is a little bit different nowadays, it's just about getting a seat at the table. Where in past years, you got to win the division and you're seated higher. And I think right now, as it's the least important in any of the major sports to have that highest seed. And I think some high seeds in the past few years will tell you that, you know, they sit around, they kind of just cruise into the playoffs. They got to sit around for a series and they get eliminated early. I think the Cubs do. I mean, I look at the matchups. The only thing is, okay, the Mets, I think they're paying above, they're playing above their pay grade. I didn't have the Mets doing what they're doing right now, but I didn't have the Phillies struggling. I didn't have Atlanta losing the first seven games. I still think Atlanta is the best team in the National League, in the National League East. Time will tell, but I think Atlanta's the class of that division, in a classy division. You go out west and they're loaded. I mean, everybody knows the Dodgers and the depth that they have. I mean, they've got Snell and Glass now out, and they're still just fine because they've got other guys they can patch into that rotation. They're just deeper than anybody else. So I think the Dodgers, from a talent perspective, one of the most talented rosters I've ever seen to start a season. But the Padres are really good. The Padres are really good. Yeah. They got the best bullpen in baseball, and Arizona's better. I think Arizona is going to be better than people think. The wild card out there in the West is the San Francisco Giants. Where did they come from? Yeah. I didn't see this coming a year ago with Snell at the top of that rotation. I was disappointed in San Fran a year ago. I thought they should be better playing in the Bay Area. You always have a little bit of an advantage just because no hitters like going to San Francisco to hit, and it's kind of built in. But they were disappointing in my eyes a year ago. But this start, 19-12 for the San Francisco Giants out of nowhere, there's just a ton of talent. I think, and the most vulnerable is that Central. I think it's the weakest division in the National League. Now, you talk about the postseason. Can they win? Of course. We've seen teams. We saw 2 years ago the Arizona Diamondbacks go to the World Series and play the Texas Rangers, who won. If you had those two teams going to the World Series, I want to follow you around for the rest of my life, and we'll go to Vegas and Atlantic City. I think that's the landscape in Major League Baseball now is get to the postseason, get healthy, just get a seat at the table, and anything can happen.
Get a seat at the table. Amen. We're talking to Brett Boone here on The Score. Mark Grody with you until 9 o'clock. A couple of things I want to ask you before I let you go, man. You mentioned Cincinnati being a great ballpark to hit in. You mentioned San Francisco can be rough for visitors, especially, I mean, this ballpark, and then, my God, Candlestick was, it seemed like, it, for players, a pain in the ass to play in that ballpark. Favorite ballpark, Brett Boone, to hit in, and least favorite ballpark to hit in while you were playing the game?
Well, you know, it's weird for me. I loved Wrigley, by the way.
Okay.
Second half of my career, I didn't get many opportunities to go to Wrigley, but I loved, seemed like it was always blowing out when I came to Wrigley. I caught that. But if I had the all-time favorite, and it doesn't, mine don't make any sense. You know, usually it's that hitter-friendly ballpark, a Camden Yards when it first came on the scene. I couldn't get a hit in Camden Yards. I couldn't stand going there. I didn't like hitting in Kansas City for whatever reason.
Okay.
I love going to the Bronx. I love old Yankee Stadium. But my favorite all-time, with Safeco, now T-Mobile in Seattle, I had a lot of success.
Oh, yeah.
There, so I can't. Yeah. I can't say I didn't love hitting there because I did, but I was kind of spoiled. That was my home field for 81 games. I'm talking road team. My favorite all time, and nothing was ever close. I could be in the worst slump of my life, but if we're going to play the Anaheim Angels, or no, I'm sorry, the Los Angeles.
No, whatever they are, right.
I know I'm going to get some hits for some reason. I don't know. I went to high school probably 15 minutes from Anaheim Stadium. My dad played there for the Angels in the late 80s. So
yeah.
I don't know if it was home cooking. I don't know what it was, but Anaheim Stadium was my place. So I'll go Anaheim Stadium 1, the Bronx 2, Wrigley 3.
Wow.
Oh, least favorite.
Yeah.
That was, I gave them to you. Baltimore and Kansas.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why I hated it. I just didn't like going there.
Okay. Speaking of family, you brought up your, that would have been Bob Boone, right? That played for the Angels, right? Caught for them, right? So I was thinking about this. Like, I'm thinking about the Alomars, the Alous, the Gurriels. The Gurriels scare me. I mean, they're just like, I fear.
They're everywhere.
Right? They're everywhere. Do you talk to other baseball families, and where do you think you rank in terms of the baseball families?
Well, we've got there's a few of us that have three generations, so it's the Bells, it's Hairston's,
and
it's the Boones. So good friend of mine, you know, I'm actually friendly with Jerry, and David Bell was a teammate of mine in Seattle.
Okay.
So, you know, to be honest with you, no, that's more for the press. And that was when I was playing, it was a cute story to open a series. Oh, third generation player.
Right.
But when we get together, that's kind of the last thing we ever talk about. That being said, you're very proud of what my family's been able to accomplish in the game of baseball, starting with my grandpa. He was the patriarch, and he kind of laid the foundation. And I look at this, I look at my dad, his success. I look at my brother and what he was able to do. So anything at this age, where I'm getting to in life, I just look back and I'm pretty proud. I'm pretty proud of the things to this day that we've accomplished and still accomplishing.
Yeah, you should be. And I'm glad you're about the hair. I mean, for crying out loud, Jerry Hairston played for the Cubs. Jerry Hairston Sr. played for the White Sox. So I'm glad that you brought those guys up. Lastly, what's going on the Boone podcast, man?
What do we got? Well, we're going two a week. And who did I have last week? We had Eduardo Perez came on and gave me his Sunday night. I like talking to Eduardo just because he has such a different take. And some of the funny things for him was, you know, Booney, what I have the advantage over everybody else in this industry as analysts is when the Spanish starts, he goes, I know everything that's going on. And usually my colleagues don't.
That's awesome.
You know, Eduardo is one of those guys. He talks about the picking pitches. He was always a teammate of mine for a minute in Cincinnati. And he was a guy that was very astute at picking pitchers' tells and other third base coaches their signs. So I always like having that conversation with him. Next week, we're going to have Jim Bowden on to kind of take us around the Major League Baseball. And we do two a week. We do two Tuesday, Thursday. Sometimes we'll have a bonus podcast on the weekend. But we'll get some players coming up, get some managers. I'll have my brother on once in a while. We go in and out. Football for the draft, we might have somebody football. We'll go hockey. So you never know. Never know who we're going to have. Linda Cohn I had on for the hockey breakdown for the playoffs.
That's awesome.
Linda, one of my favorite SportsCenter hosts of all time. So it's going strong. I'm enjoying it.
Love it, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate you. And I'm definitely going to want to talk to you again as the season goes on. So thanks, Brett Boone. I appreciate you.
Feel free. Let me know anytime.
I will. There goes Brett Boone. Former Seattle Mariner, former All-Star. And if it wasn't for that darn Ichiro, he might have won an MVP because he had like 150 RBIs in one of his seasons.
Hey, real quick, since Brett said he liked Wrigley so much, his lifetime at Wrigley, 120 plate appearances, so not a small sample size.
Right.
Hit .291.
Okay.
.926 OPS.
Okay.
9 home runs.
I see you.
Not bad.
Yeah. So he did. He wasn't just saying that. He wasn't pandering to us. He liked playing at Wrigley Field. But that's hilarious, man. That somehow, some way, he just couldn't hit. He couldn't stand that stupid brick wall out at Camden Yards and the whatever the factory that they had behind there. I should know my Camden Yards history, but he didn't like hitting there. When we return
to that's Camden. He was pretty good there.
Really?
Sanford's the Giants?
No. At San Fran and Baltimore, you're saying he was good?
Oh, wait, Camden Yards is Baltimore.
Right.
They both got Camden in the name. It messes me up.
Right.
He was bad at Baltimore.
Yeah.
594 OPS.
Right. Do they call it Camden Yards still? I'm pretty sure. Something. Bears?
Is Bears? Camden Yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we return, we've been really building this up, so this better be good, man. Chris Emma, who has been doing sports updates expertly at WBBM today, is going to walk down the hallway in moments, and he's going to give us a hot take on something. He's a passionate Cubs fan, so it might be that. He covers the Bears, so it might be that. The White Sox beat the dreaded Brewers today, so maybe it's the White Sox. Maybe he wants to tell us who the Blackhawks' next coach is going to be. Maybe he wants to tell us what Arturas is going to do to get Giannis to... We'll find out. Chris Emma is going to join us next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
Some people like Chris Emma. Score evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
That's right. Chris Emma is here, and you've only got 2 minutes. We're losing time as I continue to speak because Baldy is coming up, and he's got a breakdown, and he'll break me if we're late for him. Chris Emma.
Don't mess with Baldy.
No, never mess with Baldy. We're not going to. Chris, Are the Cubs legit? They're 19-13. Are they good? Is it sustainable what the Cubs are doing?
Well, I have my list of the top 40 Blackhawks coaching candidates ready for you, but I guess I can't get to that in this segment.
This is your time, Chris.
Yes, I do think the Cubs are real. Absolutely. I mean, look, they got one of the best players in baseball being Kyle Tucker. We've seen already what an impact he's made for this team. But the real difference for this team isn't Tucker. It's Pete Crow Armstrong. He's becoming a superstar. Like, he's becoming everything you hoped he would be when you acquired him back in 21. And, like, he's always been a rare defensive player. Not just good, not just great, but, like, arguably the best defensive player in baseball. But the hit tools are coming along as well. He was a guy who started down the order this year, and rightfully so. He's still working on a lot of things, such as plate discipline and pitch selection. But, man, when he puts the ball in play, he hits it hard. He started to square things up. He's becoming everything that you wanted him to be, which is one of the best players in baseball, and that's going to make a huge difference for this team.
Where do you think he's hitting in the lineup, say, in June?
I mean, probably in like the 5 or 6 spot. He's a natural leadoff profile except for the pitch selection. He is one of the most aggressive swingers in baseball, swinging at way too many pitches out of the zone. If you look at the metrics, he's about 50% on pitches outside the zone. That's too much. It reflects in the on-base percentage. If he had an on-base percentage and a walk rate that was a lot higher, clear-cut leadoff guy, put him there every day for the next 10 years. But, man, I mean, you love to see what he's becoming.
Scariest hitters. I was just writing this list down. Because we're talking about the Gurriels. I have a healthy fear of anybody named Gurriel. Yordan Alvarez, Eugenio Suarez, and the Gurriels. Anybody else I need to talk, like most feared guys, like personally?
If you want to torture yourself, look up Eugenio Suarez's numbers only against the Cubs.
Oh, dude.
I looked this up like 4 home runs ago. Like in his career, he's played like 140-something games against the Cubs. He's got like 40 homers against them.
He
just mashes against
honestly,
the Cubs.
Honestly, I saw most of them because he came in 2015. That was my first year doing the Cubs. I got to go. Baldy's way. He's got a breakdown, Chris.
I can't wait for Baldy.
You're the best. That's Chris Emma. Brian Bears. Baldinger, insider Bears. For Odyssey Bears, is coming up next to talk about all the Bears draft picks and the Bears on the score. I'm Mark Grody. Goodbye.